accusations the Saudi-led coalition is targeting Yemeni civilians. The European Parliament vote took place in response to a petition signed by 750,000 European citizens calling for the suspension of weapon sales to Saudi Arabia. United Nations Special Envoy for Syria, Staffan de Mistura, has announced that the next round of negotiations to end the deadly conflict in that Arab country will get underway on March the 9th. He changed an earlier decision based on which the talks were set to resume on March the 7th. De Mistura said that the delay was due to logistical and technical reasons and also for the ceasefire to better settle down. He had said earlier that the talks could be postponed based on the situation on the ground. A ceasefire agreement in Syria, brokered by Russia and the United States, entered into force on February the 27th amid hopes the truce would lead to an end to nearly 5 years of war. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said on Tuesday that the army has so far restrained from responding to breaches of the ceasefire in the country, but there are limits to its patience. He added that the cessation of hostilities is a glimmer of hope and stressed that Damascus would play its part to make the whole thing work.
If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
This is Jen Gorlick. I'm an activist in D.C. I support a free and unoccupied Palestine, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. We're going to be speaking with Nolan Hack. He's an activist from L.A. I want to assume that he's down with Black Lives Matter. And we're going to be talking about what's happening with election 2016. Is it really an election for black people? You know, we're involved as props in a lot of ways. At least that's my opinion. That's my analysis. We have Hillary Clinton. She's doing her thing. And she garnered a hell of a lot of support from middle-class Africans in the South. She didn't win every state on Super Tuesday. Oklahoma did not support her. Vermont did not support her. That went to Sanders. I mean, Sanders is holding his own, and he is discussing the issues that many of us who are on the lower economic scale, I should say, those of us who are dealing with the prison industrial complex, those of us who are dealing with police brutality, those of us that are dealing with racial profiling, whether it's in, just dealing with the police, dealing with education, dealing with trying to, get services, employment, housing, things that Hillary Clinton is not talking about, things that we know for a fact that the GOP will never discuss. They say that not only would they not fight for 15, that everybody's making too much money. And Hillary Clinton hasn't been talking about that too much either. But a lot of things have changed recently in the past week or so. We have Hillary Clinton being linked, by extension to an assassination in Honduras of an indigenous leader, Beto Carreras, somebody who is very important to many, especially in South America, many indigenous people, for her advocacy for fourth world issues. So, when we look at that in terms of the native vote, what is going on with the black vote? She has not really answered the question on what she meant by super predators. When she's been approached by two black women about this, her answer to the last one, according to democracynow.org, where I saw the video, was, why don't you just run for office? Meaning she has no answer. So, what is going on in election 26, especially when we see the Nation of Islam leader, Louis Farrakhan, now side with Dr. David Duke, and Andrew Anglin from the Daily Stormer and Stormfront.com and all of these other neo-Nazis that are running with the Trump train to Naziville. You know, how, you know, what are we supposed to do with this? Now, many of you already know what I have to say about this. You've read what I've had to say about this, and you've heard it on the show. I want to speak to a young black man coming out of L.A. who is dealing with this on the street. And, you know, what his age group is actually, you know, looking at. When one of their sisters gets beat up by a neo-Nazi at a Trump rally here the other day, what is a young black man supposed to say to himself? You know, what political position is he in that he can't defend, you know, from, you know, his own people from this situation? Where, you know, and he's being told to vote. Where is his and her vote supposed to go? And in terms of Hillary Clinton, you know, and her connection to the black community, her connection to the black community is one of exploitation, is one of oppression and repression. So I've said enough. Nolan Hack, welcome to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm from Los Angeles, born and raised, I guess I'm blessed in that capacity because I've always been aware of how our people have been treated, and I haven't been all that quiet about it, especially of late, but even growing up as a kid, and I've been pulled over by the police, I've lost count how many times. So if I was in hell, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, God forbid, who knows? So I got a little lucky there, but it's still, I mean, this is obviously a problem all over the country, I'm just saying. As for the, you know, this election, it's definitely the craziest election I can remember. I my first vote was in 08 when President Obama got his first term. You asked the question, is this election for us? And I've said many times, I don't know of any election in U.S. history that's been for us, in terms of, since you're talking about black and native people. But for, you look at the four candidates. I mean, you got Ted Cruz, who is of Hispanic descent, who doesn't want to admit it. You got Donald Trump, who is a cartoon that The Simpsons, a cartoon, predicted would become president as part of a joke on their show years ago. And then you've got Hillary Clinton, who, let's just be honest, is a white supremacist who does not like colored people, especially black people. She's put so many of us behind bars with her undying love for the Violent Crime Act of 1994 or her huge amounts of money she's taken from the private prisons. And then you got, okay, well, Bernie Sanders. Yeah, all right. If you're a colored person, you probably want to vote for Bernie Sanders, and I would totally agree with that. But I always stop short of saying, yeah, I'll support Bernie Sanders because, I hate to sound cynical, but this, I'm just being as logical as I can be here with, you know, talking about U.S. politics. Bernie, what is so great about Bernie Sanders for black people? I mean, he voted for the Violent Crime Act of 1994, which put 100,000 more police officers on the streets. Mm-hmm. And you can, I mean, I've said this like three times before, but I'll say it again. You can't do that. You can't put 100,000 more cops on the street. Anybody who knows U.S. history and the current reality, cops are trained to hurt black people, colored people. Okay, this, especially black people, the minute slavery, the second slavery was over, death by cop became a thing. Okay, so he signs this bill, and 100, you know, obviously Bill Clinton and Hillary and I'm missing a name, Vice President Joe Biden, they were the main cheerleaders of the bill. But still, you don't sign something like that if you care about, hell, humanity, let alone black people. And then you're talking about, like I said, death by cop. This has been a thing since after slavery. And until those two black women got on stage from Black Lives Matter at a Bernie Sanders event last year, he was never talking about death by cop. He was just another white politician, you know, doing his thing, signing his bills, white progressive, white liberal, that's fine, you know, good, you know, I get elected 100 times in a row. But he wasn't spending a whole bunch of time helping black people and colored people, especially native people. I mean, you could fact check me on this, but I was scrolling down on all the bills that he signed, adopted when he was in, when he first got in Congress. He's only signed one bill attacking the ongoing 500-year genocide of Native people. And that one time was after he announced his candidacy for president, and it was protecting Oak Flat. So I don't see how this guy is so special. And I mean, I've been alive. The first election I remember is 92 with Clinton, and I barely remember that. Then, of course, you have Dole and Clinton. I mean, every election, it just seems like who's the best of all these, I guess you could say, bad choices. I mean, Bill Clinton, Bob Dole, John Kerry, and George Bush. And what if Sanders wins, Sanders and Trump? I mean, it's just kind of like
it's gotten a lot worse. And see, that's where I was going to, because when we were discussing this and not really understanding each other on Twitter at first, my point was is that no, you know, Bernie Sanders is not perfect, even though I know that's being said out there. And, you know, just like it's being said with, you know, Hillary. And the contest has got nasty amongst the electorate. You know, you have people who are pro-Hillary and those who are pro-Sanders for whatever reasons. And it's usually because of their personal reasons, not because of broader reasons. Because, yeah, you know, Bernie Sanders voted for, you know, quite a few things, actually. Like, he's not anti-gun, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vermont. Well, we have to look at it this way, too. You know, at least look at the entire thing and not go by points. Well, I mean, when I say by points, say, okay, well, because of this one thing, well, to hell with it. I mean, with a lot of things, you should probably do that. But not everything. In context, his thing is not wasn't so pro-gun as much as it was allowing the people of his state to be able to own their weapons. And let's just face facts. You know, anyone who really knows the northeast part of the United States, people are not really running around threatening each other over there. They hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now at the same time, having been out there, I wouldn't say that, you know, Vermont was the most friendly place for a person of color either. But, you know, you're not likely to be chased down, you know, by a bunch of folks to just, you know, for the hell of it. But then again, that's not particularly true either, because you go, you know, outside of Philly, anywhere, right, 10 miles yeah. outside of the city limits, you can have a problem. Right. When I lived in Newark, New Jersey, as black as it was, you move over to the white side of Newark, you know, you have a problem. So, you know, all of that is true. And no, Bernie Sanders has not been, since the civil rights period, 100% blah, 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 blah. And I've pointed that out, you know. But at the same time, where I get critical is that where a lot of people are saying that he should be doing what technically black people should be doing for themselves. I mean, he hasn't really jumped up and down for the Jewish community either. His thing is labor, which, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, how many people in your age group, at least, or at least the folks in your community of the African community, are conscious of socialist politics, socialist policies, to the point where they understand that someone like a Bernie Sanders will be more, you know, open to listening to what they have to say on the issues of mass incarceration, a bias and discrimination, and all the things I listed earlier as we were coming in, these sorts of things. He acknowledges racism, and I will argue that he always has. Has he been a champion against it, per se, all the time, since his younger years? No. You know, but at the same time, does the black community really think that someone who's a neoliberal like Hillary Clinton, with her record and her record of promoting racism against black people, is anywhere near the, say, apathetic, for lack of a better term, you know, white attitude or white perspective, perhaps, towards what's happening to people of color in the U.S.? Where do they really think that their vote is going to have any weight, you think?
Well, I mean, if we're being honest, I mean, it's if you break all four down, we're down to four, it's Bernie by a mile. I just want to say really quickly, I think is my, I mean, this is my personal belief as a young black man. My father was a Black Panther for a few seconds. He was in the civil rights movement. He went to Berkeley. He was as radical as he got. If we keep asking these white politicians to help us, we will never get completely free. We will never get to the mountaintop that Martin Luther King wanted us to get to. But as for my age group, which should be, I guess, in the 20s, early 30s, I'll be honest with you, I'm disappointed and disillusioned because I've always been interested in politics to a point more so than growing up as a 10, 15 year old person. But then you get up to 20, 23, 25, 27, 28, 29, and you think, okay, well, now everyone's going to care, right? And especially since we're in, 2016, the black president thing happened, cool, gay rights, cool, all right, so we're finally moving somewhere, right? But no, a lot of my friends, they just don't care, even the colored ones. And it's troubling because it's, the joke is with Bernie Sanders, he's the best for colored people. But when you talk on Twitter and social media, Bernie has the most votes and everyone loves Bernie. You go to the polls, they don't show up. And that's obviously, if you're if you've been around a while and you talk to young people, obviously you stress, go out and vote, go out and vote, go out and vote. Obviously that hasn't stuck. And it'd be one thing if I saw people my age being just cynical about the whole thing. Like if you're a brother or native person, Hispanic, whatever, and you're like, well, I mean, none of these people are for us. All of these people have harmed us greatly in one way or another. I don't want to vote for any of these people. I can't support these people. And I get that. I understand that. If I'll be honest, if Bernie Sanders wasn't running, I would not vote for any of these people. I couldn't in good conscience vote for any of these people. I will vote when the primary comes around to California. I will vote for the old man. I will vote for Bernie Sanders. But if Bernie Sanders does not get the nomination, I'm either going to vote green for Jill Stein, or I'm not going to vote. I'll just vote for the Senate, Congress, everything else, but I won't vote for the president.
Okay, now that I don't mean to interrupt you, but now that you said that, Dr. Jill Stein, I have to say the same thing about O'Malley. Now, we can ding him for Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately, we can ding him for Baltimore, but we never really heard anything from him. Now, Dr. Jill Stein has been out there for a while. Haven't heard anything about her from the mainstream media. The DNC didn't even want to acknowledge that there was any sort of other entity out there. Do black people have any knowledge of the Green Party, let alone the fact that Bernie Sanders is a socialist and what that means, and the history of the Clinton partnership, right?
Yeah.
From Bill on, how do you think people are really, putting this together? And for those that know, let's just say, for lack of a better terminology, the 5% out there that do understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. In your region, how are they trying to correct or educate those that really don't have a full grasp of what's going on?
Well, if we're talking about the small percentage that do, I've seen a lot of people in my age bracket of similar skin tone support Jill Stein. The problem is, again, you're in this rigged two-party system where she doesn't have a chance in hell. Mm-hmm. So then and a lot of Democrats, as troublesome and toxic as the Democratic Party is, they have a point. If you vote for Jill Stein, that's another vote for Trump or Cruz. And that, I'll admit that's a bit of a problem. But at the same time, there's a thing called your own ethics, what you believe in as a person. If Hillary Clinton gets a nomination, considering what she's done to my people and the colored people all over the world, I mean, you're talking about war crimes, uplifting dictatorships, that whole thing. I'm either voting for Stein or somebody else. And it's funny, you look at her platform compared to everybody else. You could get with her if you're black, native, you know, gay or whatever, an oppressed people, the problem is, again, he doesn't have a chance. And those type of the true radicals, and I don't know enough about her on purpose because it's like, okay, she's not going to win. And I got a lot of things to do on my own, you know, social chart and a political chart. But until the system's torn down, people like that will never have a chance. Look at President Obama. We thought we were getting this. We thought we were getting the guy. We thought we were getting Martin Luther King and Malcolm X put together in modern times. Even though he didn't say it outright, he was being cryptic and saying, "Oh, okay, yeah, I got you guys. I got you. Don't worry about it." And he's just non-threatening enough where the white people voted for him. But then he gets into office, and he turns into a moderate, a centrist, and in a lot of cases, his policies are right leaning, especially his foreign policy, which is terrifying. He's sent out more drones than George Bush. So that's the thing that always troubles me with each election now, especially after seeing how much of a fraud President Obama is. This political structure, it's not for us. It wasn't, I mean, to quote Malcolm X, it was designed by white people for white people. But of course, the reality is, until that, if it ever happens, if we ever see a revolution here in the United States again, but this time for everybody instead of just the people in power, this is what we got. So we got to work with what we got, and I think a lot of it, we also have to. Such about the young people, and a lot of us have no idea. We got to see who is running in our own congressional districts. We got to see who's running for Senate, because that's where a lot of the bread is buttered. Congress is red right now, so a lot of things that could be happening, and obviously the Democratic Party is more liberal and more friendly to colored people, but since you're talking about a red Congress, a lot of things that have needed to happen for the betterment of society are being, pushed down and tucked away. So, right, we got to focus on what we can do right now, along with the people like you and I, trying to get our two people, black and native people, towards a revolution, a much needed revolution. But this is what we got, so we got to work with it until it's no more.
Well, we got started on this by, talking about revolution, and I was arguing the idea of revolt being separate from revolution and what that would look like and, what the fallout would be. And, my thing is, we can't even get each other, which is what we've been talking about. We can't even get our own broad consensus. I'm of the age group that was hoping that we were going to vote eventually in a plebiscite. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense plebiscite. A nationwide, coast-to-coast, black people's plebiscite to decide what we were going to do. I remember the meeting in Gary, Indiana in the 70s, headed by Amiri Baraka, and how that didn't work. See, that's where I'm coming from. It's like how, we were able to at least get to that point, even though, it didn't work. We were able to get to that point back then. Now, I can't get 10 black folks to agree on four things. It's virtually impossible. And now, final question. Now that the minister, Louis Farrakhan, has stepped up yet again to liaison with the white fascists in the United States, he is now not only down with Alex Jones, who said that the Trayvon Martin murder was a hoax, who said that, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was anti-white, who has a problem with, when I say black radicals, I'm talking about people who are trying to fix the system, not hate on white people. But see, here comes Alex Jones. Total 100% down with the neo-Nazi movement in the United States, the neo-fascist anti-government movements. Was supportive of the Bundy thing that just went on over here in my state, Oregon. So now he's been on the Alex Jones show twice. Well, actually, this is the second time he's been on the Alex Jones show. And he has thrown his support towards Donald Trump, who was also being supported by the Klan, by neo-Nazis and by fascists in France and in Ukraine. You know, what are we supposed to say to our young people in terms of black unity when we see someone like this who gets a hell of a lot of respect in the community, whether it's earned or not or deserved or not? What are we supposed to say in terms of, yeah, well, we're going to move towards revolution when we have people like this in the community that are willing to side with the far right that is sitting around and planning to exterminate us?
Well, I think I keep preaching this with black and native people in the United States. A big part of our liberation hangs on education, and the native people, they know more than anybody else because they're having to tell people what the real story is, because it's been hidden from everybody else. But you talk about the black population, the white population, and the rest of the United States, which we're walking around with our eyes closed. You look at someone like Louis Farrakhan, you look at someone like, look at Fox News. Any brother that comes on Fox News, even as a Democratic pundit, you're like, why are we wasting our time here? What are we doing? And Farrakhan, look, he's done some good things for us, but it's, I don't know anyone who could support Farrakhan, and go, yeah, he's going to save us. He's bought off. You know, you look at those, one of the black caucuses, they were bought off by Donald Trump. You got black church leaders, pastors bought off by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're white, black, green, or brown. If you know who Donald Trump is, you know he doesn't like colored people. He doesn't even like some white people, for goodness sake. This is what we're dealing with. There's so much lacking education. We don't know, A from Z, and I think we have to be careful about going after some of the people and of our own people, when we don't know, when the other person doesn't know what's going on, but at the same time still try to educate, because without that education, and a lot of, sadly for now, the education has to be, I don't want to say underground, but non-traditional, because in the school system you're not getting it, even in some colleges you're not getting it. So that to me, that's what has to happen, and we have to take better care of our own minds. I have no, if you want to listen to whatever music you want to listen to, you want to watch whatever show, movie you want to watch, but the problem is there's more, we're so busy with trivial nonsense that a lot of us don't care about anything else. And I understand that because it's so easy to become disillusioned with politics and social change as a black person, a native person, a Hispanic person, because you're always seeing us in second place and fourth place, or not even having a seat at the table. But at the same time, you got to realize in the back of your mind, without us pushing forward, we're going to keep going backwards. And that, to me, we've been kind of treading water since Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy got killed. Angela Davis got the fear of God put into her. Stokely Carmichael turned into Kwame Ture and was kicked out of the country. Since that, all that happened, it was like in 1968 when King and RFK got killed. I was like, all right, that's it. No more rights for black people and we're done. And that was it. And we just became comfortable with that, but that's a part of that mental slavery we're still under. And we got to figure out how to move forward to that revolution. And I don't, as we now understand each other, I don't mean, going out with AK-47s and take over the Capitol, which, you lived through it. There was talk of doing that. That was obviously never going to work because the numbers aren't there and the power structure is too powerful. But we got to figure out, what that's going to look like and how to get there. Obviously, the first thing is how to get there. And I truly believe the first step is education, because once we figure out, oh, wait, this country's doing this. They paid $1 billion to break up the American Indian movement. They either killed or put most of the Black Panthers in jail, et cetera. It's stuff still going on today. They're spying on Black Lives Matter leaders, the FBI, but they're leaving the KKK alone. It's like, wait a minute. Oh, we know this is going on. we can't sit by and let this happen. We got to do something about it. We got to tell our sister, our brother, our cousin, our friend, our homie what's going on. And then the more of us who know what's going on, if we have a big coalition like we did back in the day, especially with the social media, we could really start to get something done. Because I'm grateful for Black Lives Matter and what they basically restarted the movement. Patrice Cullors and company, the three queer Black women, not the people that's kind of put aside, nobody knows who they are, but they did create Black Lives Matter. But I'm grateful for that. But we got to start going bigger. We got to start seeing that, we're marching all over the place. I didn't realize that in Mississippi, I think it's every Thursday, they march outside the governor's office. To try to get the Mississippi flag torn down, because obviously still has a Confederate flag in there. So, I mean, we're all over the place trying to get things changed, but we're not doing it as a collective group. And the other thing I keep preaching, brothers and sisters of the Black community, we have to team up with Native people and extend our hand, because they've been trying to do that with us for years and years, and we've been just shoving them aside and going, go away. But we have a voice. They don't have a voice, okay? There's only 5 million of them left. More than 100 million have died since 1492 on purpose, if you know your true history books. So if we can team up as two races, I've said this before, I guarantee you we will get to freedom. Because you have two races who have been that beaten down, seen the things that we have seen, and have that undying fight to live and survive that we do. I mean, we'll be impossible to beat.
Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe this could be the spark. You've been listening to Nolan Hack. Brother operates out of L.A. You can check him out on Twitter at Nolan Hack. And I do advise you to look at the link on his profile page, ilikethetruth.tumblr.com. All right, thanks, brother, for coming on and, having your say. And, hopefully people will, start to try to put the pieces together and look a little forward and see what the hell we can do. Trump is scary.
Yeah.
And I hope people realize that this shit isn't a joke. The New York Times reposted or reprinted, actually, or republished, I should say, an article about the rise of Hitler. That they said simply take Hitler out and replace Trump is the exact same goddamn thing. Okay, everyone, I hope you learned something from this. This has been Intelligent Aboriginal Rager. Please stay tuned.
This is Malachi Daniels, talking to you from New York City. You're listening to Aboriginal News, Angry Indian Radio, a place where you can come to hear what's really critical and discussed about African people, about indigenous people, what is going on globally. Where you can come and get real information. This is not CNN. This is not even RT or STV. This is Aboriginal News. Come and get it.
I don't fit in society, and I am incompetent.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 100.1 en FM.
Mike Cadell, broadcasting from North Jefferson County, Kansas, smack dab between Kansas City, Topeka, Lawrence, Atchison. Easiest way to describe it. Put together quite a good show. I think you're going to like it.
Radio Free Kansas on blogtalkradio.com/FightingCopFire.
Hello, I am Susan Aglukak. The North has the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, in the country. We also have a high rate of teenage pregnancies. High-risk behaviors, unprotected sex, lead to the spread of HIV/AIDS. It can be prevented. Learn the ways to protect yourself and others. Knowledge is power.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that prevents pregnancy. It is not an abortion pill and does not cause an abortion, only the prevention of pregnancy. If you have had unprotected sex or have been raped and need Plan B, contact your local Indian Health Service. You have a legal right to receive Plan B over the counter, meaning without a prescription or a doctor's appointment if you are 17 or older. Plan B must be taken within 72 hours of sexual intercourse to be effective. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
We will call the elite now, if that can help you. By the main paper of the United States, the New York Times, said that Garvey had evolved an elitist group. And I didn't have to do as other children did, to say that, well, I was a Negro, and so I was at the bottom of the barrel. We use the term Negro in the organization because that's what Mr. Garvey had to use, because he was, remember, not a naturalized citizen of the country. So he used the term Negro, but we ourselves at home knew we were black, we were African, and that made it so different for us. Made it, just as I said, perfect. I loved my life as a child. It was a good life. We had our own God. We didn't have a white God. We had our African fundamentalism that we grew up under. Mr. Garvey told us who we were, that the Sphinx, the pyramids were all ours, that the ancient kings, that the African kings were in the Bible. He showed us and pointed them out to us. He gave us black angels. Now, this was unusual, and some people were rather worried. The woman was glorified in the family. She was the mother who taught, and above her, she was protected by the Almighty. The Jesus child looked like us. So therefore, to explain my childhood, I would have to say I was as perfect as maybe any white child in the United States could be. This was our standard. The red, the black, and the green. This is the original one that Mr. Garvey himself would have held. The red for one blood of black men all over the world. Black meaning the black peoples of the world wherever we were. And green for Mother Africa.
Dear Hip Hop, I'm writing to inform you I'm going to have to end our relationship. I know in the beginning I was down to work them hips, but I was tricked. Seduced by your beat. See, you had me for 3 minutes and 46 seconds. I was suspended in time, but when I snapped out of it, I had to ask, did I hear what I thought I did in that last rhyme? Now forgive me. Maybe I'm getting old, or maybe I'm just slow, because I didn't even know you could say bitch on the radio. But I was entranced by that beat I heard somewhere before. Oh, I remember that was the original score. Now, unless I'm dreaming, I could have swore. Right after you called me a bitch, you called someone else a whore. And at this point, I'm trying to process a few things. What were the original words to that song? And you want me to do what with my thumb? And I'm tripping, because nobody's acting like anything is wrong. After all, the anthem for the new millennium was Big Pimpin'. And it all seems a bit surreal, because when I was dancing around, I didn't know the damage my soul was going to feel. And there are times I am still compelled to move, but I swear to you, it's that old school groove that's playing above the lyrics, because if the music wasn't there, I definitely wouldn't hear it. I thought hip-hop was supposed to be a means of poetically expressing yourself, but it seems these days you'd say anything to get your CDs off the shelf, so let's toast with champagne and blunts to your health, but first, tell me why. Every other video, brother's gotta be a gigolo. And you show your respect by pouring beer for the homie who's dead and then pour the rest of that 40 over some female's head. And what's crazier than that is she doesn't seem to mind, but if you look past her ass, deep into her eyes, you just might find a hint of surprise, because she didn't realize that the camera shot was gonna be between her thighs. And she furthers a lie as she tries to deny, pretending like it's okay, that she just gave a piece of her self-esteem away. And it aired 9 times on MTV today, and all of that for little to no pay, but he's a hustler, baby, and he told you so. And when he's through, you're a video hoe. I'm trying to make it in this business, so I've actually stood in those high heel shoes, you know? And now when I go to the club, I see a sea of young women with fake diamonds bouncing around their waist, too little clothes on her body and too much makeup on her face, screaming, underlay, underlay, mommy, E-I-E-I, uh-oh. Were you that hoe? Was I that hoe? Or do we need to spiritually grow? Does anybody know what EIEI stands for anyway? Is it eternally imprinting, exaggerated ignorance, or exploiting innocence while extremely intoxicated? I'm starting to think this hip-hop thing has become way overrated, and you dedicated an entire song to how fast my ass is shaking? Tossing around money that you really ain't making? Didn't I see you on Court TV, accused of raping? But I'm the one hating. Well, maybe I am. Cause somebody needs to speak up on behalf of the woman. So no, you can't see my thumb. No, I won't back my thing up. No, you can't big pimp me into buying your CD. It takes a king and a queen to create a real dynasty. Why don't you set your mind free? Why don't you back that thinking up? Maybe you're already aware because you call yourself corrupt. And it's not hard to deduct when I keep hearing rumors that you're going bankrupt, that you just claiming head hip-hopper in charge, spending all your money on your boys just to prove that you're large. Cause all your real niggas still kick it with you. And there ain't no nigga like the one you got. So you ride for your niggas and you die for your niggas, cause you're a no limitations nigga. What type of nigga slang and bang in the streets? A bad boy, a rude boy, a 504 boy, a hot boy, a ghetto boy? Hold up, I got this plan. Stop calling yourself a nigga and a boy, and call yourself a man. Cause what I really want from my niggas is to realize that it's the root of the word that's the trigger, triggering thoughts through my temple of its real definition. Look it up, it's simple. Number one, ignorant. Number two, inconsequential and petty. Number three, stingy and miserly. But it's not the definition that comes as a shocker. What baffles me is that you call yourself a doctor. What are you healing, brother? And I'd really like to know, did you get that doctorate degree while you were on death row? Changing your name, thinking it'll contribute to your fame, but all you're doing is defaming yourself and your people, and you wanna know why we aren't seen as equals? Got all your jewels wrapped around your neck and your wrist. What happened to throwing up a fist to represent unity, to show our pride? Now the only time you throw up your fist to show off the fact that you bought a Rolex, never mind the damaging effects that all of this has. Look around, it's spreading fast. Even Baby Bow Wow has his Mickey Mouse iced down. Should be fitting those jewels into his crown. Got little kids thinking it's a thing to hustle up your money for a little bling bling. Why don't you sing, sing the truth, play? Money really ain't a thing, you see, when you trade it in for your dignity. And all you've done is perpetuate negativity. So I challenge thee, the next time that you're seduced by that beat, whether it's when you go to the club, get your groove on, or buy a CD, the next time that you're seduced by that beat, listen closely to the rhyme. And you tell me if that's what poetry was meant to be. Sincerely, Bridget Gray.
Hi, this is Annie from Au Revoir Simone. You're listening to a Creative Commons licensed podcast.
Hello. This is a message to the so-called New Black Panther Party, which resides in the United States of America. As an American citizen, I ask that you all immediately disband and stop what you are doing, which is misrepresenting an organization and a culture that you do not understand. As the child of a Black Panther, I was raised to understand that the ideals of a Black Panther shall live on. However, the physical representation of a Black Panther can and will be oftentimes misrepresented and imitated. These gentlemen are Black Panthers. And they also had the original mindset of Black Panther, which is to ensure truth, justice, and equality for every single tax-paying American citizen, regardless of the color of their skin or their ethnicity. God bless you, and power to the people.
Understand that Barack has taken a statement, made statements against the reparations movement.
Yeah.
But would he ever make a statement about the Jewish people shouldn't get reparations for the Holocaust that occurred in Nazi Germany?
Yes,
I don't think so.
Yes,
he has uplifted Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, anyone that does an in-depth research into the history of this man, knows that Abraham Lincoln was a white supremacist who didn't give a damn about black people at all. He said that if he could, he would ship all black people back to Africa.
Yes, he did.
You understand what I'm saying? So there are many things, statements, and positions that Barack has taken that's diametrically opposed to the upliftment and the liberation of African people.
Oh, no doubt. Well,
if I say I want peace, then you say you should put down your gun. But hasn't it occurred to you by now, after 400 years of being brutalized and murdered and lynched and maimed by guns and force on the part of racists and the racist power structure in this country, it's damn near time we picked up the gun to try to begin to get some peace, to defend ourselves and our community from racist attacks by the pigs, to defend ourselves against racist attacks by Birchites or Minutemen or Ku Klux Klansmen or what have you? Hasn't it occurred to you that it's damn near time we organize ourselves in some fashion to have some ability to begin to make racist and the racist power structure act in a desired manner as we define the functional definition of what power is? The ability to define the situation, and we have been defining it. Now we must organize in our black communities to also make the power structure and the racist system act in a desired manner. And what is that desired manner? Politics. What is politics? What is politics? You think politics starts with a seat in the assembly? No, it doesn't. It's related to it, but it doesn't start there. Politics starts with a hungry stomach. Politics starts with a pig crushing us across our skull and murdering our people. Politics starts with the fact that we get rotten education, we get brainwashed and fooled and the trick notion and trick knowledge and everything else that goes on with us in terms of the exploitation that goes down. Politics starts with the fact that we want decent housing, fit for shelter of human beings. Now this is where politics starts. And black people now understand with the Black Panther Party that we are going to relate to politics in a real fashion. We are not going for no more jive verbal sincerity at all. Don't give me, Robert F. Kennedy, your jive shut. I think it is necessary here that we come forth. I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of my black brother being brainwashed too. Kingfish, what did you think about John F. Kennedy? Robert Kennedy?
Well, Andy, you know how it go there, boy. I think the boy is going to do something there. Look, we're not going for that thing anymore. Robert F. Kennedy was well related to Robert Williams being put in a situation where he had to vamp from this country and split because he was being prosecuted by Robert F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy did not send troops into Birmingham in 1963 until black people decided it was necessary for them to defend themselves. When Martin Luther King's motel was bombed and the races had been attacking us constantly in that particular area and all over this country, why didn't John F. Kennedy send some troops in then? He didn't send troops in until after black people decided we're going to defend ourselves from racist attacks and went to the streets and whooped up a few racist heads. Then John F. Kennedy decided to send in troops. See, all that verbal sincerity, we learn from the past. We learn. So we're going to guide our feet by the lamps of the past. And we're going to make sure that we won't fall into no more bags. So peace and freedom, if you want to do something, get down to nitty gritty and don't miss no nits or grits. No more shucking and no more jiving with the McCarthys, with the Lynching Baines Johnson, with the Governor Regans, with the Robert F. Kennedys, right on down the line. No more shucking and jiving.
This is Radio Intelligente Rindigena.
comme il trêve en ordre. Et France heureux à la balle et au coteau du repétre. Et saboteur, attention à ton fardeau d'une mute. C'est nous qui frissons le barreau des prisons pour nos frères.
This is Black Agenda Radio, a weekly hour of African-American political thought and action.
Welcome to the radio magazine that brings you news, commentary, and analysis from a Black left perspective. I'm Glenn Ford, along with my co-host, Nellie Bailey. Coming up, Detroit school teachers fight back against the same system that poisoned Flint, Michigan. And a veteran Black educator says there will be no peace until the people take foreign policy out of the hands of Wall Street. But first, there is turmoil in this presidential primary season in both the Democratic and Republican parties. Dr. Anthony Monteiro, the Du Bois scholar and veteran activist who helped put together a national conference on the Black radical tradition this January in Philadelphia, says the Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump